In already having our service this morning on my mind, had a couple of aspects from that I'd like to bring to you, if the Lord will bless. I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read one verse here, verse 26 in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This verse says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Brother Ronnie was praying. He mentioned that it's a memorial service. It's something to put something in our memory, remind us of that. And we sang, maybe it's 180, "I Love to Tell the Story." And in that, the gospel is to remind us, is to teach us things we don't know, and to remind us of things. It's the same story, but the Lord can refresh that and bless us as we're reminded of these things. But the communion service, the Lord's Supper, that ordinance in the church is to put us in remembrance of something. That's simply what it is. The other ordinance, baptism, of course, points us to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that total immersion in water. And so these are things that have been set in the church for specific reasons, to put us in memory of certain things. And certainly the Lord's Supper puts Jesus Christ and his sacrifice in our memory, but specifically that as often as ye do this, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It takes me back prior to his death, when he set up the Lord's Supper there, when he moved from the Passover, which was observed. That was also in remembrance of something specific. And so when Jesus Christ went from the Passover into and constituted this ordinance in the church. So it does put in our memory the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly what the meaning of that death was and is. So it reminds us of that. I'd like to go to 2 Samuel, thinking of this, putting in remembrance, reminding us of things. The 7th chapter of 2 Samuel. Typically, as we grow older, we're many times we need to be reminded even more often of things, things that really maybe before just came second nature or was just always on our mind that we would remember. So certainly we're brought to remembrance of many things. Here, King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, the 8th verse, David needed to be reminded of something. "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote and from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel." David needed to be reminded. He was a king. He was a great king. Serving God, he was not perfect, as no man other than Jesus Christ was perfect. But so he was punished and chastised. He had judgment here in time upon him. That was while he made his mistakes here. I'm thankful for that comfort. And I think of the Apostle Paul he never forgot what he did to the church, to the bride of Christ. He was reminded of that, and it kept him humble. As I've preached before, that he had to, and preachers have to, we all have to forget certain things in our lives. I tend to concentrate on all the bad that I maybe have done. I want to forget that and get reminded of it. The Lord's Supper is to remind us of the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of Man there, and then carries us into the significance of that death. And so we're blessed, and it's strange in reading the writings of those that are not of the Primitive Baptist Church, of the Church of Jesus Christ. Lately, I've read different writings, and there are so many that will bring thoughts to my mind, and I'm thankful for that. But the way certain things are phrased just jump out, and I've read recently so many writings on different subjects where it says the death of Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ himself and his sacrifice provided sinners with the opportunity to be saved. That's just not, well, yeah, it provided the opportunity, but to Jesus Christ actually secured our salvation in his death, in his sacrifice. And so it did not give us an opportunity then in our life at some point to choose whether or not to be saved. I see several of you smiling in that. That is something to smile about, that we don't have to worry about that. Yet, as David had to be reminded of where he came from, how can we possibly understand the depth of the grace and the love of God were we not to know where we came from, where we started from our father Adam, I continually have to remind myself when I'm going through something and minor or major in my life that I have to stop and remember and think back of where I came from. So that puts in my memory and in my mind what I truly deserve now that I don't get. It's mercy. And then I begin to see in specific things and occurrences in my life, my family's life, my church's life, and it just expands out in this country, the grace of God. That of what he just loads us up with, knowing that of what we've been reminded of, that of where we came, as King David, that he was taken from following the sheep to be ruler over God's people, over Israel. Now in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm one, the 129th Psalm. Let me grab about half of this. There's only eight verses here, but let me grab a few of the first verses and read those. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plower is plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. So even here, more generally, not just specifically David, but of Zion itself, and it brings out the Lord's righteousness here. That we're reminded, yet they have not prevailed against me. In our sufferings, in our tribulations, as we're going through trials or tests in our life, We're reminded, though, that they have not prevailed yet. They have not prevailed against me. That brings my mind to in the death of Jesus Christ, that as he hung there, and his visage marred more than any man, and that as people looked upon his body there, being crucified, even those that had hope in him as the Messiah, and maybe they didn't think so much anymore that he was the one. John had to ask again, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" And those, there were many that were there that saw and said, if you are the Christ, then bring yourself down off the cross. And so he looked, it appeared that as if Jesus was just a man who had lost in whatever he came to attempt to do. But he was victorious. I always like to remind myself, speaking of memory, that if no one else around there, and I believe there were many around there that knew he was victorious, certainly when he shouted out, "It is finished," and then all of the, looking just simply at the physical things that took place after that, that temple veil that was rent from top to bottom, the boulders that were ripped apart, the power there of God Almighty, the same one who had the power and showed it in history in the Old Testament in many events there. He was victorious. And then as we hear the gospel preached, we read his word that he has given us that victory. That victory that he won on the cross, that we have already been given that. We have it now. To me, sometimes the word empower is overused, but I personally am empowered by that knowledge that he won that victory. And right then and there, Satan knew that. Satan knew and knows that he is the Son of God and that he's been defeated. And that Jesus Christ was victorious in that death, in his sacrifice. And he is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being victorious. And in addition to his holding that victory, he's given it to us. So then even the communion service of the Lord's Supper, pointing to his death, points us to his victory. And then on to the fact, the truth that he's given us that victory. And yet, just like King David, just like the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, all of the disciples that from time to time stumble and fail and fall in serving him. But we, holding that victory, being given that in Jesus Christ, then we continue and put aside those things. I typically, when I'm talking about repentance, how it is to turn aside, change directions from something, and that it's not really true repentance if I have to keep turning aside from the same thing time and time again. But if I have to do that, and if I need to do that, then so be it. I need to keep working on that, knowing that Jesus Christ was victorious in his sacrifice, and knowing he's given me that victory, I need to keep doing that, knowing that I don't have to spend my time having been given the quote-unquote opportunity to save myself eternally. Since that's been done, then all I have time to spend on is to work on my service to God here and to honor him and glorify him in whatever way I typically then would say in my feeble or lame attempts to serve him. But when he blesses us to serve him and to honor him, then we're lifted up. There is a perfection there if Jesus Christ is in that, even in us, because we already have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ within us. We have that. We've been given so much. We've been given so much. David was taken from following after sheep to being king over God's people. Such a great honor there. So he did that. We have been given the same opportunity to serve him, knowing that that Jesus Christ in his death upon Calvary's cross was victorious. That now in Exodus, the 12th chapter, Exodus chapter 12. Here's the very word that Brother Ronnie mentioned in his prayer, the 14th verse, 12th chapter of Exodus. And this day, and this is talking about the Passover. So many similarities. Of course, Jesus Christ went right from the Passover into the Lord's Supper that he instituted in the church. But it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Then in the 17th verse, let me jump down there. "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought," excuse me, "brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." So even in that, he mentions that he brought their armies out of the land of Egypt. It was to remind them of the salvation, not eternal, but timely salvation, in the Passover. When he saw the blood, he passed over those homes, those households, those people there, and brought them out of Egypt, out of the bondage that was there. He has in his sacrifice, being the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ has brought us out of, brought us eternally out of the bondage of sin. We still carry it with us now. I'm reminded constantly of that, but we're also thankful, though, whether it be in singing, praying, or preaching, and in our fellowship, that we are for a little while blessed by Jesus Christ, by God Almighty, to be put in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for us. And be thankful for that before I quickly, I won't say we or you all, I quickly forget that and have to get back on track again. But it's they should keep it a feast to the Lord. This certainly pointed to that back. I won't read all this, but in the fifth verse of this chapter 12, this lamb without blemish, without spot, perfect. Jesus Christ did not deserve anything there. I'm sure that had I looked upon him there hanging on the cross, being crucified, that I would have had to look away. Just know, I don't know if I can imagine that as much as we see in the things that we view, whether it be movies, television, documentaries, whatever it is. I think if we had looked upon Jesus Christ, we would have seen the suffering that he took upon himself. But that was the suffering at the hands of wicked men. He was handed over to them. That suffering was not for our salvation. The suffering of at the hand of an Almighty God there that Jesus Christ took upon himself. How did Jesus Christ look after that point there when he took upon himself the wrath that I deserve for an eternity? So the Lord's Supper, our communion service, points us to that. It should be an humbling thing, and it is. When Jesus Christ, in instituting this, and supper being ended, he knelt down and washed the disciples' feet. It shows us his humility. He was, you talk about a king, you look at King David, but look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this great King of kings and Lord of lords, and he did that. And right now I'm remembering and as we will observe in a little while and the things that cross my mind when one of my brothers is down washing my feet and how uncomfortable that is for me, that I tend to want to lift them up and then let me switch places with you, which we finally do. But we humble ourselves and do just that. And that's what the point of that, the ending of the Lord's Supper brings about. So now let me go back to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He's talking about the leaven representing sin. 6th verse, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out, 7th verse, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. As ye are unleavened. In the sight of God, we are unleavened. We have the sin that we have within us. God sees us, as we mentioned so often, He sees us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ laid down His life there. And thinking about His death there, in as we will, as we show His death till He come, we realize that He would still be here and now had He not laid down His life. He's the only one that was able to do that. He chose the moment, which is reassuring to me that He knew the very moment that He had completed the work. And that He had saved, redeemed, bought back from the bondage of sin all of the elect family of God. He knew that moment, and at that point, He was able to give up the ghost. He was able to lay down His life there. And so even at that point then, I know that He had covered all of my sins that I have ever committed or ever will commit with His precious blood. There was such a cost there, a price that He had to pay there. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It was not simply the shed blood, but the entire sacrifice of Jesus Christ Himself that was accepted of God. We certainly wouldn't have had it within us. I certainly couldn't have done that. I would not have been accepted. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Sounds like Exodus. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Within the Lord's Supper, within that ordinance, we're pointed to the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. We break that unleavened bread in which puts us in it's a memorial to the perfect body of Christ who had no sin there. I can't even grab hold of that in my mind that there was one who walked this earth that had no sin in Him because no one else does. And they're not in that situation here, and yet in the purpose of God, we are without sin because He said it is finished. And so certainly thankful for that. Now, let me circle back around. I'm going to go to the 10th chapter. Near, it's on the same opening where I began, where we do show the Lord's death till He come. But in the 10th chapter, in the 16th verse, Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread, and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." This 16th verse here is the only place. You think, well, it's called the Lord's Supper. Well, why do we call it communion? This is the only place in God's Word where it's referred to as communion, which is based on the word, you see the word partakers there. Communion being fellowship, participation, partnership. There's a partnership there and an involvement there. But it comes from the Greek word behind partaker. It's a participation there. Certainly as a group of people. Then we think, go on to our fellowship in the church, a common being of one body. But it's partaking of that, partaking of the feast, the body of Christ, the wine which symbolizes the blood of Christ. They do not become the literal body and blood of Christ. It does not do that. There are some denominations that believe that as the prayer is uttered, then that becomes those very objects. But these are just symbols as a memorial to the death of Jesus Christ until He come. And so this is the feast that we have. We're given the opportunity, and it is as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Very serious communion, a fellowship there. Knowing that, why would I do this? Why would I participate, be a partaker of this feast, if I did not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Lamb of God? John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And yet not everyone, but we realize where we came from and that we deserve what those that were not chosen. And we do. We love God because He first loved us. And one day I do see that through a glass darkly. It's hindered. My view is hindered. And yet one day we'll realize in fullness. And I think of those who have gone on in soul and spirit that even now are experiencing that love. And for them to know that in fullness and in perfection, I long for that. Yet it's not time yet for me. The Apostle Paul was betwixt the two, having a desire to be with God and with Jesus Christ, yet it was needful for him to be here. And so when someone asks me, well, why am I still here? Why won't God just take me on home? And then they tack on to that I'm of no use to anyone. Well, then I beg to differ with them and so forth. But when they're thinking that, It's so hard, but because when at the same time I'm longing to be there too, but it's needful that we be here. And so now we feast with Jesus Christ. We feast upon Him, His body and His blood. But it's a memorial service and to show His death. And that means that S-H-E-W, to proclaim and to preach and to shout His death till He come again. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a couple of verses of a song and open the doors of the church. We'll forego the handshaking. And